God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of the day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to the end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of the heaven's armies is here among us, and the God of Israel is our fortress.
Hi. Okay, we're going to do something quickly. I wanted you to see this team. We're missing two. Campbell is working at a Young Life camp for a couple of weeks. Sawyer, I think, is still at the beach. And so we're missing Campbell and Sawyer, but this is our work crew that came to London with us. We also brought, they're the best. I feel like I'm blocking you, G. We also brought a few other folks with us. My parents, Tim and Ginger Teague, came with us. Camp director and dining hall boss. And then the Adkins family also came with us. Yes. Mandy and Josh and Gabe and Eli and Luke and Huck were also, Gabe, Eli, Luke, and Huck got to go to the camp that we put on as campers, which is really fun and very cool. So what I wanted is everybody's going to introduce themselves, and I'm going to ask everyone the same question, which is, what was your favorite part of what we did in London? Ready? You're the preacher's kid, so you got to go first.
This is, hi, I'm Graham. My favorite part of the camp was probably getting to know all the kids' names and like building a relationship with them and like playing so many games with them, playing so much soccer. I'm still sore. And then also my friend Max, I was just on the screen. I got to like get to know him really well and, you know, build a really great connection with him and relationship.
I'm Reed, and I would say my favorite part of London would be just getting to meet all the campers, kind of like Graham said, meeting all the East London staff and work crew, and just really getting to build relationships and share the love of Jesus with the kids.
I'm Josh. Graham said about everything, but my favorite part was playing soccer with the campers and even the work crew too. Like in the morning, we played a game where we had everyone from the UK versus everyone from the US.
It was won, don't worry.
We did win.
Don't you worry.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Hi, my name's Avery, and my favorite part was people and public transportation. It's great.
Hi, my name's Sophia. I think all of us are going to have similar answers, but my favorite part was playing games with all the kids and building relationships with them and the work crew.
Hi, I'm Izzy. My favorite part was getting to experience something new and watch the kids hear about Jesus.
I'm Maddie, and the public transportation was definitely the worst part of the trip. But my favorite part was meeting the work crew and getting to watch the kids experience Jesus.
My name is Tate, and my favorite part was meeting all the kids and learning more about just a different culture and learning about everybody overseas.
Yay, thank you. I know the best. All right. Y'all can go back to your seats. I'm going to have two of them hang out up here, Reed and Sophia. We'll pull these stools up. And so we are kind of starting a new series that we will sprinkle all throughout the summer. We're calling it Perspectives. And basically what's going to happen is a couple of weeks We'll surprise you. Throughout the summer, we're going to take a text and give a couple of different perspectives on the same scripture. So you hear from me week after week after week. I thought it would be fun in the summer for you to get to hear other voices from other people and other spaces and other ways of seeing and thinking about things. So we picked Psalm 46 for today, and we picked it on purpose because when we got to London, we all got to London at different times. It was about a 24-hour kind of cycle of all of us arriving. And in that 24 to 30-hour period, everything went wrong. Like, everything. I legitimately do not have time to tell you the stories because it would take a literal 20 hours because that's how wrong everything. Things were going wrong stateside. Things were going wrong in England. As we talked to the staff in England, everything was going wrong for them. And so we found ourselves in Psalm 46, all together praying, kind of praying our way out of what felt like this sort of attack against us. And so what I've asked Reed and Sophia to talk about is really verse 10 that Tate just read from us, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored in every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." Because I think we got a different kind of perspective on this verse. So Reed's going to start us out.
So getting to London was kind of exciting. I don't know about anybody else that went with us, but I didn't sleep on the plane at all. So that was a fun 2 days.
It was a forever trip.
But yeah, so getting to the camp originally, just kind of meeting all the campers, it was super cool. So getting to see like all these new faces, meeting all these new names of all these people. We had this one girl in particular named Lena, and she kind of was super closed off day one. I wouldn't say she was acting like she didn't want to be there, but she kind of was just going through the motions of all the other campers, just kind of sitting around, just not really like super like into it, I guess I would say. So after that, getting to day two, going throughout the whole day, she's kind of opening up just a tiny bit more each time. So we get to day two. She gets Tom's talk after day one and day two. And then for a little bit of context, when you're doing a work crew or assignment type of thing, they do like debriefs at the end of the day or end of the week, just kind of go over what happened. But a particularly part of these debriefs is you'll kind of go back through it and see where did you see Jesus? And that could be in a person, in an activity, just really anywhere in the camp that you did see Jesus moving in some way or another. And so I don't remember who it was exactly, but after day two, just in kind of conversation, Lena had told somebody that Tom's talk that day, she said it, she found it kind of weird because what Tom was talking about was exactly what she like was going through in her life. And so she just thought that was kind of like a weird coincidence. And I would say day two at that point was kind of her turning point. You could tell after day two and after she kind of had that conversation, like something shifted. She was way more open to the idea. Lena was an atheist, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the East London team builds relationships with all these kids, and they knew Lena was an atheist going into camp. So getting to camp and then kind of realizing that these things might not be coincidental, I would say it was a huge turning point for her. And then just going on from day two, Lena was so different. She was coming out of her shell more and more each day. And then, yeah, just really getting to see her be more curious about religion and meeting all these people that she can just talk to about it and not really have to worry about any judgment or any outside, I would say, just like judgment towards that. And so getting to see her come out of her shell and be way more curious about religion and what Jesus would look like for her, I think was a super cool thing for me. Just getting to see someone explore that. But yeah, and then by the end of the week, during our like debriefs, something that kept coming up was day five Lena against day one Lena, and it was like a completely different person. So day five, it was just like a party all day, basically. And at one point, she's leading 20 people in a TikTok dance. And
Tate?
She's dressing up in these crazy clothes and walking down an aisle in a fashion show. And it's just kind of funny to see where it's like, outside people wouldn't think of that as like a religious thing, but being able to see day one versus day five, how she became more curious about her religion and then really just like coming to life during those 5 days was super inspiring to see. And that like, not only the work we're doing there is like very important, but getting to see an area where Christianity isn't super popular, and just getting to see not only Lena, but like we could talk about 20 other kids that had a similar story at camp, but just really getting to see like them come out of their shell and be more open to Christianity was a super cool thing that I would say I'll never forget about London.
Are you moving there?
Hopefully.
I heard Jennifer boo. yes, she really did host a TikTok dance class at the end of the week, and I knew that Tate Stokes was like experiencing the Holy Spirit because I watched him take the class, which I found to be the highlight of my week.
All right, so when Lindsay sent us the verse, I kind of focused at first on just the, like, God being honored in all nations part, relating to the work crew. So going into this trip, I actually didn't even know there was going to be other work crew people. I thought it was just us and then maybe a couple staff there, but no one our age. So when we got there and we had the meeting the first day, we were meeting all these work crew people, and just the way we instantly connected. Tom did make us, he was like, okay, you have to go find somebody you never met before and talk to them. But like Joanna came right up to me, we hit it off. I'm not sure what happened on the guy's side of all that, but I know after that, me and Joanna became friends. The first day of camp, it probably took less than an hour, and we were all hanging out with somebody from London rather than somebody from our own group. And I think going on group trips, a lot of times you get kind of with the people you're comfortable with. You don't really want to go meet other people, and I'm kind of big on that. I like doing things by myself, so I'm forced to meet people, but I think it was cool how well we all meshed together. When we had our own groups, we could have been staying with with the people we were comfortable with, but we didn't. We went out and met new people. I forgot what I was going to say next. Okay, yeah, so I think it was just cool how their relationship with God kind of differs from ours a little bit, but also, like, theirs is just as strong as it is in America. And I kind of thought we were going into a bad area. They probably don't have the same kind of resources we do and everything, but they have so much faith in God just as much as people in America do. They rely on him for everything. I think a lot of times we get kind of, I guess our culture is like, we need to do it ourselves a lot. And they just pray about everything. They give everything to God. They trust him in everything in their lives. They all were studying for exams at the same time as running this camp. And it was just cool to see how they were able to juggle that and how much they relied on God with that. Yeah. And then one more thing. Specifically pointing out Joanna again, I noticed this one of the days, and it kind of just stuck with me, but instead of focusing on what was going on around with the whole group and how all the group activities were happening, there was one day where I noticed for a majority of the day, she was off by herself with one of her friends, just being a person for her friends to listen to, and she was willing to give up whatever was going on around with everybody else, all the fun that was everybody was having, and she just sat there with her friends and listened to her friends. And by the end of the day, her friend decided to give her life to Jesus, and that was great. But yeah, it was just really cool to see how devoted she was to her relationship and how her friends' relationships with God were going.
I love it. Thank you, guys. Are they the best?
Oh, you can do it up on the stand.
Okay, I'll set you free. The best. Joanna, you saw in the video.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Okay. I want to give one more thought on Psalm 46. But if you're if you're wondering why we're spending so much time talking about this trip, part of the reason is because this is our very first mission trip we have ever taken as Springbrook Vineyard. We have sprinkled some people. We've attached ourselves to other mission trips, which is sort of a specialty of ours. We see somebody doing something cool. We're like, we'll come. Thank you for the invitation. They're like, we didn't invite you. And we're like, we'll come. It's fine. That's really how things have been. But this is the first time that we took people out of the States from our church, just our church, to another location. And so that's why. That's why it matters that we keep talking about it and celebrating it. Because what I hope is that you'll see that this is something that we're starting and will continue. One of our hopes is we've been working on something we call Pathways here at Springbrook, which is just a couple of ways of pathing out what it means to be a flourishing part of our church. And one of those things is, what can we offer someone from, if they have a baby and their baby comes, we have one here this morning, but if you have a baby and you have a baby in our church, what can we promise as the church for your child as they grow? And one of those things that we want to promise is an opportunity like this, that we would give them an opportunity to go outside of their own culture, their own community, to something different. And it, as you hear from Reed and Sophia and from everyone, it was a huge deal to get to hang out with a camp that was half Muslim and get to answer questions about America that you don't get asked in America. And so it's a big deal. We think it's a big deal. So, and it's not just for kids. This is something that we want to do across the board, is as we talk a lot about live, work, learn, and play, and we have our eyes on our community, and we want to continue to do that, but we also want to have eyes for beyond. The second thing we talk about is here, near, and far. Where are we bringing wisdom, courage, and kindness here, and where are we doing it close by in America, but also where can we do it abroad and overseas? So, I do want to give just one more thought on Psalm 46 because it changed my thinking. Like I said, we read it together. This was our prayer in response to all of the wild that was going on both in the States and here. We had two members of our trip that weren't able to make it because of a medical situation here that we were like praying for and thinking through and just, you know, there's an emergency on the other side of the pond. It's a really different experience. And so here we are clinging to Psalm 46 for our friends who were missing, who we were worried about. We're clinging to it for the London crew that we were meeting. And so one of the things that happened as I was reading, really two things. One is at the very beginning, in the very first verse, it says, God is our refuge and strength. And when you look to original language, I think I always read like, yes, all of us individually experience God as our refuge and strength. But when you look at the actual song in its original form, our is it is meant to be read as a very collective word. As in Psalm 46 is meant to be a collective psalm. It can be absolutely personal, but it's also meant to be a song sung by a group of people who all together bring their experiences, the collective we. And I was thinking about this as I was reading it. I texted all of our teenagers and I was like, will you read Psalm 46 tonight and like maybe read it out loud in your room? And as I was doing that and praying it in my own room, there's something that happens when you're like, oh, this is actually being read in room 324 and in room 335 and in room 403. And all of our rooms, we are reading this together, this collective song to God saying, we will depend on you. And I thought about it here, how much of an impact it's made on my life that in this room, I get to sing this song alongside you guys week after week and year after year. That I know that breast cancer is something that God will intervene in because women in this room, that has not been the end of their story. I know that bankruptcy is not the end of people's story because people in this room have gone through it and God has been their refuge and their strength. There are so many stories that I could give you, story after story, where I walk with you guys and you guys are the collective we saying, God is our refuge. He is our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. The second thing that has happened, I've been continuing to read Psalm 46 beyond just London, and it's just been a place I've kind of camped out for the last few weeks. And there's a guy I read a lot. He's a rabbi named Robert Alter, and he did a translation of the Old Testament. And what I learned is that the rabbis translate verse 10 that Reed and Sophia just talked about. They translate it a little bit differently. We translate it, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's a perfectly good translation. But the rabbis translate it differently. They say, "Let go and know that I am God. I will loom among all the nations." And that wording has just been messing with me through and through, this idea of letting go. It's supposed to be an image. It's supposed to be a word picture of taking hands that look like this and opening them up in the acknowledgement that God will be God. That in a different psalm, it says that God lives in the heavens and he will do whatever pleases him. And so I feel like my life has been this lesson in learning what it looks like to take all of my fear and all of my anxiety and all of my distrust and learn how to slowly do this. And I feel like that's what we did for 11 days, is we learned how to let go and allow God to do what he would do. I don't know if you know, but we are not scholars in Islam. Just in general, like Reed and Sophia may be, but I'm not. And so it's like, how are we going to answer questions about a faith that we know a little about and that we can Google at night? But other than that, how are we gonna answer these questions that kids might have? And it was learning to let go. What am I going to do when I go to the hotel and they have canceled rooms without telling us and told me, and I quote, "That feels like your problem." Right? It was this, like, I did feel like the Holy Spirit was just like prying my little fingers open, you know, again and again. And just like, legitimately, my front desk guy, Nerman, who, if you've talked to me about the trip, then you've talked about Nerman. Nerman, at one point put his hand on my arm after his manager said, "That feels like your problem." He put his hand on my arm and he said, "Go take a shower and lay down. I will handle this." And it felt like this Holy Spirit moment of like, I will let go and I will allow you to be who you will be. I think it's maybe the hardest lesson I learned as a person. So I want to do one more thing this morning. I said we're talking about perspectives, and I want to bring one more perspective on stage. Kristen Kessler is going to make her way up here. And she's doing this for a couple of reasons. One, because she's wise and wonderful, and we should listen to her when she speaks. And number two, because as we were praying Psalm 46 in England, Kristen was praying Psalm 46 here. And what's interesting is on Friday when everything's blowing up and I texted Kristen and I'm like, the Tate and Sawyer are stranded. They may not even make it here. This person's in surgery. My rooms were canceled. All of this stuff is happening. Will you please pray? She responds and she says, "I'm praying Psalm 46 over you right now." And I was like, me too. Weird how that happens, right? She also said this, and it made me both mad and giggle in the moment. She said, "For what it's worth, everything going so wrong makes me very excited about what's about to happen this week." So that's true. Okay, I'm going to get you a mic and let you take over for Selah. No, you're good.
Hello. Hey, I'm Kristen Kessler. When you've probably heard from Nick before, when I told Evie that I was going to stand up here and do this, she said, "Not daddy?" So y'all are probably thinking that too, and that's fine. I am too. And I'm grateful to have the opportunity to talk about Psalm 46 because it is one of my favorite psalms. And to Lindsay's point, when I heard about a very one corner of the difficulties that were coming up in response to the trip to London, I didn't even know the full perspective. I was learning about one point. And I, like Lindsay said, immediately was so excited. And I know that that makes me sound like a Batman villain, and maybe that's not wrong. Because a person delighting in chaos around them does kind of like give a little bit of Joker vibes. But nonetheless, over the course of the last few years, I feel like God has been training me to pay attention to chaos. That when chaos is unleashing, that That is a time to pay attention, because the Bible teaches us from the very first page, from the very first verse, that God's work is bringing order to chaos. That is his work, is taking chaos and bringing order, taking decreation and bringing creation and bringing life. And so when I see chaos, when I see decreation, I pull up a chair now to see what God might be about to do. It's kind of like if you've read the Chronicles of Narnia and they say, Aslan is on the move. That is what chaos is to me, is wait, look, pay attention. God is on the move. And so that is what I hope to be true of me most times, is that my relationship to chaos is to pay attention. And that day it was, but that's not every day, because often my posture to chaos is to see it as at best an inconvenience and at worst to join in. Right? Like I see chaos, I get overwhelmed, and then I get swept up into the chaos and start kind of wreaking my own chaos into my corner of the world. And so I want you to take a second as we kind of turn this corner in on y'all. We've heard a lot about London. And so now as we kind of bring it home here to Alcoa, to Maryville, to Blount County, what is your relationship to chaos? What does it do in you? Maybe you can kind of reflect over this past week, and maybe there is a meeting that comes to mind, or and some sort of conversation you had with somebody in your family that invited you into chaos. What did you do? Did you join in? I know for me, oftentimes the answer is yes, but what has been your invitation in chaos? What I hope is that when chaos breaks in, we can begin to wonder if it's not just a battle here. What I think is so interesting about Psalm 46 is it is clearly talking about both the right here and the right now, and the spiritual battle, right? The psalmist recognized that battles here on earth are just a picture of the larger spiritual realities, the larger spiritual battle of chaos versus creation, versus order. And so, can we start seeing chaos as an invitation to look for God bringing order rather than a random misfortune that could be happening in our world? When all this was breaking loose in London, I began to wonder, oh my, if this is what is happening, if this is how the powers of chaos and darkness might be trying to throw every obstacle in these people's paths, what might God be about to do? And how lucky am I that I get to participate in it by joining in the prayers that were being prayed in room 304, in room 403, by being here in Blount County praying Psalm 46 alongside them, right? It becomes an invitation to join in the prayers. And so Psalm 46 was the inspiration, if you've ever heard the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's a 16th century banger, okay? But it is Martin Luther recognizing that earthly battles so often are rooted in the spiritual world. They might take earthly clothes, but they are spiritual battles. And so what I also love is that when we pray Psalm 46, when we pray any psalm, just like how Lindsay said, we are joining in the psalms, in the prayers of those around us, In the spiritual world, we are also joining in the prayers of 3,000 years worth of people praying these words. We know that Jesus prayed the Psalms. When we pray the Psalms, we are joining our voices together with those of the Levites who wrote these, of David, who wrote many Psalms. We are joining our prayers to them. We are joining in the prayers of the disciples who came after Jesus and took his lead by praying the Psalms. And so to kind of come back to, as we talk about chaos, what our response can be, as so many of these people have touched on up here, the only words, the only quotation that we see from God's voice in this psalm is those words, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." The word that, and Lindsay kind of mentioned this, the word in the Hebrew means the same thing as to stop or to put down. She talked about opening your hands, letting go. Stop what you are doing and let go. And I don't know if you need that invitation in chaos, but I know that I do. And so, as we kind of head into Selah, we're going to spend some time in Psalm 46. And so before we do, I want you to consider what a prayer practice for you this week in Psalm 46 could be. I don't know if you've ever memorized scripture before, but if you haven't, then I think that Psalm 46 is a great place to start. And if the whole thing feels intimidating, then I want you to notice today what words stick out to you. And maybe that's the place to start, right? Maybe it's just taking verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, and praying those words over you, over your life, over all those that belong to you. Maybe it is those words, be still and know that I am God. Notice what words stand out to you as we read it. And maybe that's where you start with memorizing. As we head into Selah, I want you to kind of cast your attention back on when I asked, what is your relationship to chaos? And as you do, if it helps to close your eyes, close them. But I want you to take a second and notice what situation in your world, in your context, feels like chaos, feels like the world crashing down, feels like mountains being moved into the heart of the sea, that brings up anxiety in you, that brings up stress. And as you do, as uncomfortable as it may be, I want you to bring up in your mind what image represents the worst part of that situation. And then as you focus on that image, I want you to notice what feelings rise up in you. Is it stress? Is it anxiety? Is it anger? Is it confusion? And as you sit with those feelings, I want you to notice what your body feels like. You feel tightness in your chest. Maybe it feels like your guts are churning. Maybe it feels like heaviness all over your body. And then I want you to take it one step further. As you focus on that situation, I want you to bring up the story that you've been telling yourself about that situation, about you in that situation. Is it something like, things will never change? I am the worst. I am helpless. This is hopeless. whatever it is. And so as we move into Selah, we're going to spend time with Psalm 46. And as you do, I want you to take all of those feelings that came up, all of those sensations that you felt in your body, and I want you to watch yourself kind of put them into your hands and close that fist. And then as we read Psalm 46, if it feels comfortable, I just want you to offer this situation, offer the feelings that you feel, the story that you tell about this situation to the God who brings order to chaos. As you read it, to slowly open your hands in an offering to offer the chaos of this situation to the God that brings order to chaos. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to spend some time with Psalm 46. God, we bring our closed fists to you. We bring our situations in our world where we see chaos breaking in. We bring as an offering our feelings about that situation and the stories that we tell about ourselves and about the chaos. And God, we open our hands to you and pray that you would bring your order into the chaos. Amen.